have gathered here and sung some of these songs, even this one that we've known so well as a hymn in our church, we just give you thanks for the opportunity to sing your praise. Father, as we gather here, and as some have remembered the time change and some who have not, we pray, Father, that you would give us all the time to be with you. May we present ourselves to you in a holy sacrifice in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I was telling some this morning that the politicians are back at it again, wanting to try to decide whether they're going to keep daylight savings time or not. I just wish they would do something. Either say we're going to keep it forever or we're going to change it back and just decide and be done with it. Then every time we have a time change, they bring this up as if the politicians have all of the answers. But Dave mentioned that we have been in the one-year Bible, and how many of you are currently reading in the one-year Bible? Okay, so we have a number in here. We still have some available if you would like to get those. We have some large print and some younger folk print. Anyway, I told with you last week that I had to get a new pulpit Bible because the other one was getting worn out, or at least that was my excuse. This one has a little bigger print. And anyway, so, but we have been in the one-year Bible, and if you have been following along, you will find that we've gotten into the part that's a little more difficult to read, especially in the Old Testament. If you were to read straight through the Bible, which I've done a couple of times, when you get into Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, it gets difficult, especially in Leviticus and Numbers, right? It gets really difficult in Leviticus when you can't even pronounce the word, when you start reading about all of the laws that they have. Leviticus means the laws of the Levites, basically how they were to keep worship. Understandably, it was only the priests that were allowed to lead worship. It was only the priests who were consecrated and everything element in the church were allowed to lead worship or even organize worship. And so these were the laws that they had to carry out even in the leading of worship and how they were to do it. Then there were laws in the daily lives. And either last week or the week before, somebody asked me, why all of these rules? Why did God have all these rules? And they had a particular one. Why the rules about the cleansing of infectious diseases and mildew? You know, why was that in? How many of you read that about mildew? Okay. Why was that even in there? Well, we're about to find out. The passage we are going to look at this morning deals with disease that attacks the home. You may ask, why does the Bible include these detailed instructions on what to eat and how to keep clean and how to treat leprosy? We've seen in the scripture where they're not to eat anything with blood still in it and all of that. And I don't know what they do with the oranges that are called blood oranges, if they have to let those out or not. But they're not to have anything because the life of the animal was in the blood. And so they're not to be taking anything with blood in it. How many of you watch Bizarre Foods with Bart Zimmern? A few crazies like me. My wife can't stand it when I watch it, but he eats some very bizarre things, and one of the things that they eat is blood sausage, and I just can't imagine doing that. But these were some of the things that were particularly spoken against in Scripture. And we wonder why some of these things happen, why the issues with infectious diseases, why the issues with mold and mildew. The practical application behind this biblical mandate to rid the homes of mildew involves multiple reasons that are prevalent today in cases of home mildew or mold. Mold and mildew, as we're going to be reading about, is a form of a fungus that spreads through the transfer and transportation of mold spores. If you have looked at your ground in the spring, when a fungi grows, when fungi grow, it'll spread out oftentimes in a circle, and that's the way the mold spores have been spread, and they can only be so close to each other, so they have to spread out in kind of a circle. But it's mold, the mold spores and fungus of leprosy, which is a fungus, are transported through contact by human, animals, insects, water, and even air. If you or an animal or insect touches mold spores, they can be transported to other areas. So one of the main reasons that God gives us all of these rules is so that we can know how to live and not contaminate each other. You know, we've often looked at the Ten Commandments as a list of thou shalt nots. But really the purpose of it, which God explains even in the Ten Commandments, is so that you can live together and get along and serve that. And so some of the reasons that we look at these scripture that God has given to us is mainly so that we don't spread diseases. When the mold is damped, the spores spread by a chain reaction of growth linking to each other on the surface of their infestation. When the mold is dried out, the spores are released into the air to float around to other areas and attach to new surfaces. Mold and mildew can be found to be toxic to humans and animals. They have been determined to cause or accentuate respiratory illnesses, chronic fatigue syndrome, immune suppression illnesses, allergic skin and lung reactions, and what we have found out in our home, even triggering fibromyalgia, up to and including in extreme cases, brain damage and death. In fact, I read an article of a young man in Australia, maybe you have seen this, just recently happening. They are suing the Australian government for his medical care and his ongoing living costs, because he was a young man who liked to party, and at a party when he was drunk, somebody dared him to eat a slug. So he ate a slug, and the slug contained a bacteria and a fungus that went to his brain and devoured his brain, and so now he is in a vegetative state as a quadriplegic. And so the family is suing the government for his medical care and his living. So it just, like, if you're stupid, you can sue the government. But anyway, so these can lead to brain damage and death. The skin disease of leprosy was closely related to mildew problems because leprosy was also a fungal disease, something related to athlete's foot and skin rot. So this was another example of God giving the people of Israel a practical command to govern their life and help the Israelites to live. Mold and mildew in the home would spread to others and affect the health and welfare of all the inhabitants and guests, as well as be transported on clothing and hair to other places. One could be a carrier of a disease just by coming into contact with someone else or something else that had the disease, the leprosy or the mold. If you just entered a home that had mold in it, you could get the spores on you and be a carrier of that to another place. Same thing as with leprosy. That's why lepers were not allowed to be in contact and were kicked out of the city, had to live outside the city gates until the leprosy was removed. A mold and mildew issue in a home was an indication of how sin can move into a person's life. This is the other meaning that God has given to us. It's the indication of how sin can move into a person's life and spread through their heart and even be transported to others. So this command by God to rid the homes of mildew was also a spiritual command. And I will point to you to the reasons stated in Leviticus 11, 43 and 45. It says, I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourself and be holy because I am holy. I am the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy because I am holy. So God is wanting us to be pure and holy and right. And he's given us all kinds of laws. We're going to look at Leviticus chapter 14. Verses 33 through 53, and we're going to read all you would ever care to know that Dr. Oz does not tell you about mildew. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when you enter the land of Canaan, which I am giving you as a possession, and I put a spreading mold in the house in that land, the owner of the house must go and tell the priest, I've seen something that looks like a defiling mold in my house. The priest is to order the house to be emptied before he goes in to examine the mold so that nothing in the house will be pronounced unclean. After this, the priest is to go in and inspect the house. He is to examine the mold on the walls, and if it has greenish or reddish depressions that appear to be deeper than the surface of the wall, the priest shall go out the doorway of the house and close it up for 7 days. On the seventh day, the priest shall return to inspect the house. If the mold has spread on the walls, he is to order that the contaminated stones be torn out and thrown into an unclean place outside the town. He must have all the inside walls of the house scraped. By the way, when they lined the walls in their houses, they lined them with clay and straw, so it was kind of a whitewash type, stucco type material that scraped off and dumped into an unclean place outside the town. Then they are to take other stones to replace these and take new clay and plaster the house. If the defiling mold reappears in the house after the stones have been torn out and the house scraped and plastered, the priest is to go and examine it, and if the mold has spread in the house, it is a persistent defiling mold. The house is unclean. It must be torn down, its stones, timbers, and all the plaster, and taken out of the town to an unclean place. Anyone who goes into the house while it is closed up will be unclean till evening. Anyone who sleeps or eats in the house must wash their clothes. But if the priest comes to examine it, and the mold has not spread after the house has been plastered, he shall pronounce the house clean because the defiling mold is gone. To purify the house, he is to take two birds and some cedar wood, scarlet yarn, and hyssop. He shall kill one of the birds over fresh water in a clay pot. Then he is to take the cedar wood, the hyssop, the scarlet yarn, and the live bird, dip them into the blood of the dead bird and the fresh water, and sprinkle the house 7 times. He shall purify the house with the bird's blood, the fresh water, the live bird, the cedar wood, the hyssop, and the scarlet yarn. Then he is to release the bird in the open, live bird in the open fields outside the town. In this way, he will make atonement for the house, and it will be clean. Now, when we lived in Peoria, Illinois, when we were in the parsonage of the church there in Peoria, we were unaware of a problem. We lived there for 10 years, and we were unaware of a problem until shortly before we left there to move to Ottumwa. And that is, the house was found to have contained a large amount of mold in the walls. We saw it in the basement. We thought it was no big deal, you know, damp basements and stuff like that. But what had happened is we had the bathroom upstairs had some tiles loose on the wall, so we never let the girls take a shower up there because we didn't want water dripping behind that and causing the tiles to fall off. Until, I don't know, it was a few years before we left the place, one of the gentlemen in the church asked if there was anything in the house that we needed, that we would like them to address. And Nancy said, yeah, there's up in the bathroom upstairs, there's some tiles that are loose in the shower and we've just not let the kids take a shower. So he got up there, he started taking off the tiles to see what he could find and to replace those, and found mold growing back in the drywall behind the tiles. And if you know anything about mold, you know that mold doesn't happen by itself. It has to have a cause and a reason. And as he began to feel the wall and start tearing it out, he realized that up at the top of the shower head, inside the wall, the pipe fittings had never been properly sealed. So the house was built in 1962, and from the beginning of when the house was built, there had been a slow leak every time that shower was used, and the mold had spread down through that wall, down into the first floor bathroom wall, down into the basement bathroom wall, our basement wall, and we found that mold was spreading throughout. When the tests were taken, they found that black mold was one of the mold was in there, which is a very highly toxic mold for respiratory diseases. But if you would look at this, most homes, almost all homes, have some form of mildew or mold in them. You can walk into houses and you can smell it in many places. But almost all homes, in fact, I would dare say most, if not all homes, have some form of mold or mildew, though the extent of the problem is much different in each home. Mold-infected homes have caused a flood of lawsuits that seek compensation for health problems and property damage. In some cases, the problems have become so severe that some residents have had to abandon their homes and even burn their homes and their belongings in order to get rid of the mold infestations. You see, when some of this happens, you can't just cover it up with paint. You have to get rid of not only the mold, but you have to get rid of the problem, the reason for that mold, the initiating problem. Toxic mold can incubate and grow wherever there is water leaking, flooding, clothes dryers not vented to the outside, water standing in houseplants is a form of mold. By example, I know that if you leave a cup of coffee laying on your desk for more than a few days, it'll get little things growing on top of that. Have you ever noticed that? Yeah. It's time to burn the coffee cup. But anyway, we get all of these type of things. I wonder if you've ever noticed where the toxic green and red mold comes in the Bible. According to the scriptures, in that first verse that we read, it says, "When you enter the land of Canaan, which I am giving you as your possession, and I put a spreading mold in a house of that land." So when we look at this, we see that God was the one that put the spreading mold in the house. Does that mean that God actually said, "Let there be mold," and it happened? No, but it does mean that he placed it there for a reason. God said to Moses, "Tell the people when I put leprosy in their house, then it is time to take the problem to the priest and do what is necessary to get rid of the problem." Just as our homes become unclean when we see mold and mildew or viruses and germs, our spiritual houses also become unclean because the leprosy of sin has invaded our hearts. And in the home of the heart, sin, like toxic mold, grows, and it creates an environment that is unfit for healthy people to live. If it is allowed to grow and to spread, it will contaminate the whole family and they will die. In fact, just like mold and mildew or infectious diseases, if sin is allowed to grow, anyone that comes in contact with that place will become a carrier or infected as well. We wonder why God would cause leprosy or mold to attack the dwelling places of people. I believe the answer is that God put the disease in the houses just like he puts them in our body. Let me explain that. Mold and mildew are not the disease. They are an example of the disease. They're not the root of the disease. They're an example of the disease. They are the, just like pain is a smoke detector when we hurt ourselves. I mean, you know, if you're trying to build something and you hit the wrong nail with the hammer, pain is what tells you that you've done something wrong to your hand, right? It's the indicator. It's not the source of the problem. It's the indicator. Same thing is with mold and mildew. What God says is when you see that there's mold and mildew, when it appears, it is showing you that there's something deeper to this. There's something inside that is spreading. So God said, "I put spreading mildew in the house." It served as a reminder that there were matters within the house that needed attention, just like there were matters in the parsonage in Peoria that needed attention. The matters that needed attention were not the mold that were causing the tile to come off the wall. The matters that were needing the attention was that the pipes were leaking for 30-some years, 40 years. And water was dripping, water was running down through those walls for that long whenever the shower was used. Mold contaminates and makes those who become contaminated unacceptable, and the one who sees everything that takes place within the four walls of our homes. Also, when we lived in Peoria, we were not in the nicest area, but there were many drug houses. And if you've ever known anybody who has cooked meth in a house, that house is immediately toxic, and anybody who lives in there can be susceptible to that toxicity that's in there. Even the curtains and the carpet and the paint in the walls and everything else absorbs that toxicity of cooking that meth. And the only thing that can be done in the cities when a house has been used for a very long time for meth, cooking meth, is literally to tear the house down and burn it. You can't rehab it. It just can't be done. And so spreading mold or leprosy or something like this was God's smoke alarm. It was just as mold and mildew in our physical houses is a warning sign of water leakage, God's way of warning the family was to say that there's something going on showing up in your life, in your household of sin. Job 22, verses 23, 25b, and 26 says it this way: if you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. If you remove unrighteousness from your tents, and if the Almighty is your gold and your precious silver, then you will delight yourself in the Almighty and lift your face to God. In 2 Chronicles 26, records how proud King Uzziah went into the temple with an arrogant and defiant attitude. He was a man who thought no one was going to tell him what he needed to do or how he should worship. He said, "I'll do it my way." So he made his own offering instead of asking the priest to do it for him as he should have. Humiliated, he had to live in exile. King Uzziah had to live in exile as a leper until he died because God had recognized the sin that was in him. Obedience to God is very important. Need we say more? Miriam is another example of one who was struck with leprosy because of her sin. But because she had a praying brother who went to God to plead for her healing, God answered her prayer. You remember reading that story in the one-year Bible also of Miriam sinning against God by complaining and wanting to take Moses' place. And God put the sin of the skin disease of leprosy on her, and she had to be removed from the people for a while. After 7 days of quarantine, she was released and totally healed. And we picture her dancing and singing with her tambourine, singing and praising God for restoring her and healing her in front of the company of God's people. So now we're going to look at the text this morning, and we're going to see what God's prescription is for dealing with an infected house. The first step, God said, is to admit the problem and go and get help. Now, if a loved one was part of a 12-step program, you know that the very first step of any 12-step program is to admit that I've got a problem. Admit you've got a problem and you can't do anything about it. It's kind of like, help, I've fallen and I can't get up, only in a more serious way. So the head of the household was to go to a spiritual advisor and let him know that there was a problem in the home. The head of the household was go and say, we've discovered that there's mold and mildew in our house. We need a priest to come and examine it and look at it. The head of the house was to let the priest know that there was something going on that wasn't right. Maybe the head of the house, the man of the house, wasn't able to put his finger on exactly what kind of sinfulness had entered his home, or maybe he was the one sinning himself. Whatever the problem, God was working to alert the family that they needed to help. You see, in that day, in the Old Testament time, any sign of leprosy, any sign of illness, any sign of disease, any sign of mold or mildew was indicative of having sin in that house. If you were sick, it's because you or a loved one had sinned. That was what was understood, and so you needed to go to the priest. Zechariah chapter 5 sheds light on how God responded to sin in a home. This is a curse that goes out over the face of the whole land, for everyone who steals shall be cut off according to the writing on one side. and everyone who swears falsely shall be cut off according to the writing on the other side. I have sent it out, says the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter the house of the thief and the house of anyone who swears falsely by my name, and it shall abide in that house and consume it, both timber and stones. Have you read in the Old Testament, what in our reading in the one-year Bible, have you read what God does to people who are caught in sin? Think about the sins of Achan at the city of Ai. Think about the sins of those of the tribe of Korah and his followers who spoke against the Lord and spoke against Moses. You remember the part where the earth opened up and swallowed them? You know, this is God's indication of what is going on in the life. So the first step we see is that we need to admit the problem and go and get help. The second step is for the family to completely enter the house. According to verse 36, the priest is to order the house to be emptied before he goes in to examine the mildew so that nothing in the house will be pronounced unclean. When we had the mold issue in the house, we were told that everything in the house after the mold was removed, we had to make sure that everything in the house was washed, all of our clothing and everything, because the mold would travel through the air and any contact we had with it would continue to go. All the bed clothing and everything else had to be cleaned and completely washed out. Otherwise, you're just going to put the problem back there. And so everything had to be cleaned out. Even before the priest came to inspect, they were supposed to get rid of all the rot inside that had the potential of infecting their lives. It might have been stolen property or evidences of lying. Whatever it was in their home that was an evidence of that sin, everything had to be removed. Today, sin-infected houses need to be cleaned out as well. We have homes that are filled with evil books, harmful toys, suggestive videos, violent video games, anything that would lead the family to unholy living and to disobedience to a holy God. It's interesting as you enter homes where you can sense that there's something going on, whether it's been unholy living or pornography or anything like that, you just they sense that it's in there. That has to be removed. A house cannot be cleaned. A spiritual house cannot be cleaned if we don't remove everything that's unclean first. Everything has to be pitched out and not brought back in. After cleaning out the home of our heart, we would not want to bring the rot back in to infect it, would we? Nor would I say, if we have some infectious thing in our house, it's probably not a good thing to take to Goodwill and let somebody else have it either, right? Just a thought. I remember a time in my teenage years when I had to get rid of now I'm dating myself, my LPs and my cassette tapes. Yeah. Black Sabbath and many others that I listened to. And I had to take them out and I had to burn them because I thought, this is not pleasing to God. I had to get rid of everything that was not pleasing to God, things that I was listening to. When you listen to something, when you see something unholy, it gets emblazoned in your mind, doesn't it? And so we need to remove those things. The next step is to do a thorough and severe house cleaning. And if the source of the mildew was the furnishings and the clothing that were thrown out, the mildew would not spread on the stone walls. But if the priest discovered that the mildew had spread, it indicated that the mildew had started in the contents of the house, but had now infiltrated the house itself. They were to do a thorough and severe house cleaning, even to the point of taking the pollution to the dump so that it couldn't be recycled to contaminate another family. You know, it wasn't scraping off this stuff and grinding it again so somebody else could use it in the plaster of their house. It was to be taken outside of the city and thrown into an unclean place. Today, we need to go through a thorough soul searching and cleansing of everything that is sinful. It may be sinful material that should go directly to the garbage or simply burned up and destroyed. Whatever needs to be purged, God wants us to get rid of it, not transport it to another location, not take it out and bring it back in. The psalmist says, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow." God wants us to pray as earnestly as the psalmist did about the sin in his home. So the next step is we need to tear out and replace the affected parts of the home. Now, you had a recent remodel of our parsonage, of the parsonage here, and I don't think you found any mold, but there were things in the house that when they started tearing out the walls, they noticed that, hey, we need to redo the wiring in places or some things like that. If there's some things not right, you need to tear them out and replace them. The old polluted stone walls needed to be replaced with new stones and new plaster. Everything in our houses should make a statement that Jesus is a welcome guest. Everything in our spiritual houses should give testimony that Jesus is the one who runs us. Not just what we say, but our very appearance and the way we act. When people see us and we greet them, they must know at first acquaintance that Jesus is a permanent resident in our life. The passage continues and points out that if the leprosy persists and is only half-heartedly dealt with, he shall then have the house torn down, its stones and timber and all the plaster of the house, and taken outside the city to an unclean place. The whole house needed to be torn down. God cannot tolerate half-hearted obedience. Jesus says to us, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the first. One cannot say that they are clean if they continue to do the same things that have made them unclean. An alcoholic cannot say he was clean and yet keep a beer or two in the refrigerator. Right? An alcoholic cannot say he's clean and even go into the locale or the environment where alcohol is being served, because there's a temptation to do that. We must be clean and removed from the environment of sin. Listen to the words of Job. If you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. If you remove unrighteousness from your tents, and if the Almighty is your gold and your precious silver, everything that you value, then you will delight yourself in the Almighty and lift up your face to God. When one gets rid of all of the unrighteousness in his homes, he will be able to take delight in the Lord and lift up his face to him without guilt in worship. What follows in the rest of chapter 14 of Leviticus is the final step of going to the house of God to offer a sacrifice for forgiveness. God's pronouncement is then, so he shall make atonement for the house and it shall be clean. Again, we can shout hallelujah. We don't need to bring two birds or a goat or a lamb to church for a ritual slaying for our forgiveness. It's already been done for us. 1 John 5:6 says, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. Jesus is the complete fulfillment of all God commanded for our house of leprosy to be cleansed. The question I asked this morning is, what would you do if Jesus came to your house? Would Jesus be pleased with what he saw inside? Or would he find it infested with unholy garbage and full of a lethal, toxic environment? For sure, we probably don't have any pornography in our homes, or I trust we don't. And we probably only listen to Christian music on the radio instead of the junk that talks about cheating on our wives or divorce and drinking. You know what you get when you play country music backwards? You get your car back, you get your wife back, you get your dog back. Anyway. But how about the hidden things in our homes that no one can see with their eyes? In other words, how about the moldy stuff in our hearts? Is there an unforgiving spirit toward others in your home? Has someone done you wrong and you can't forgive? And you know that your unforgiving spirit is consuming your heart and your home. Jesus teaches us to pray, forgive us our sins as we have already forgiven those who sin against us. For if we do not forgive those who have sinned against us, our Father in heaven cannot forgive us. As difficult as it is, he will provide the courage and power to forgive our offenders. Or maybe it's a home that is infected with a coldness toward each other or towards our extended family. A cold, unloving spirit, even in a single home, is a toxic mold. Or do you feel that your boss or your neighbors or your coworkers are real jerks? Oh yes, you speak to them. But you're not really interested or concerned about their joys or their concerns. You want them to be concerned about yours. Do you really extend your love to people in a Christ-like manner? Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." I'm discovering that there is no better way to get rid of a moldy, cold heart than to ask God to plant a deep love in my heart and in my home. If God will plant a deep love in my heart for others, then the cold, stony heart is removed. Philippians 4:18. Whatsoever things are pure and lovely and righteous and noble, think on these things. Or is your home tainted with the toxin of self-absorption? Does each person live to satisfy his or her own needs and desires at the expense of the family harmony? Do you find yourself reasoning, it is my time, my car, my pleasure, my recreation, my body? I will get what I want, and don't expect me to sacrifice any of my privileges or my entitlement for anyone else. You know, oftentimes they say that the reason for marital breakups is because of money. That's really the final thing. The real thing is that each person is so stuck on themselves that they are willing to sacrifice to the whole. God came and made us one in His sight. And everything we have is to be one. There's no room for self in a marriage. Remember, the root of all sin is self. And it comes right down to that. I've discovered that Satan will take little things in our home, like petty annoyances, and have a heyday with them. Satan loves to have a little sin sprout and spread into all kinds of little moldy demons. And believe it or not, Satan works in and through us. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of the darkness, rulers of the air. We wrestle against that, and we're seeing churches destroyed these days by the mold of discontent and self-absorption and control. If we don't take charge with the power of Jesus and ask for forgiveness and spiritual healing, we will eventually be overcome, sin-sick, and miserable. The reason God put this in the Bible is, one, because they had an issue at the time with infectious diseases and molds and mildews. God was wanting to keep it from spreading. But He understood that they believed that all of this was because of sin, and so it needs to be removed from the house. We need to ask God for forgiveness and to cleanse our houses of all iniquity. Lord, create in me a pure heart. And then the other verse, search me and know me, see if there is any wicked thought in me. Father, we ask that you would cleanse us. Where there is the symptom of infectious disease or molds and mildews, we ask you to get to the root problem. And Father, we ask that you would make us a people. You called us to be holy just as you are holy. We can't do that on our own. We have to have the priest come in, the great high priest come in and remove it. We need to open up our lives. We need to allow ourselves to have our hearts emptied out of anything that is unworthy and unclean. And let the great high priest come in and cleanse our house and our home. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.